Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live today from SDPB Studios at the University of Sioux Falls. Joining us in the studio for this week's Moment in Sound, we have Sioux Falls musician Darren Kaihai, and his new release is called Used to Live Here. Darren, thanks so much for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here this morning.
You're one of those musicians that, was not on my radar, and then after I started doing a little research, I'm not really sure how that happened because you're everywhere and you've done a lot, and you've done a lot with other musicians who have been on this show frequently, Joel Shotwell and Andrew Reinerts and others. In fact, you're opening for Andrew and
Jamie Lynn
on the Sparse at the Icon April 27th.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your background, how long you've been in Sioux Falls making music.
Yeah, I've been making music in Sioux Falls now since around 2008. I had a band back then called Flyaway Sparrow with some friends, and we did a couple of albums, and we're playing quite a few shows there for a few years. And then most recently I've been doing kind of solo work with bringing in friends and other musicians onto different gigs and onto different recordings, and just kind of experimenting with that. Sioux Falls has been a great place for me to make music, and it's a great community. So collaboration is really fun, I've really enjoyed being a musician in Sioux Falls over the years. So,
with the amount of collaboration between different artists, does something like a Sioux Falls sound emerge, or not really?
Right. I think naturally you end up feeding off of each other to a fair amount. I think Sioux Falls is fantastic in that there are individual voices that are very different, but when you put the pieces together, you can connect it to Sioux Falls. But I think there's especially now, a really healthy variety of styles, and genres, and just very different songwriters writing. And then when you get into stuff like the guys you mentioned who are playing jazz, which that's been really cool. There's some great jazz pieces going around Sioux Falls, and that's I get really into that as I'm getting older now. I guess my appreciation for jazz always. I don't know if that's correlated, but and I'm certainly not a jazz musician. But I don't think there's a Sioux Falls sound necessarily. But I will say that it's a very close-knit community. So I think there's a lot of healthy interaction that goes on between.
Maybe it's not so much getting older, but just brushing up against those other musicians who.
Yeah, and I think you're always looking for new inspiration and new ideas and different avenues to go down creatively. And so for me, it's always fun to just be listening to different styles of music than what I'm necessarily doing, and then try to figure out ways how to incorporate some of those things into my own music. So
how about seeing other people play? Are there lots of opportunities for that? Is that something that you even have time for?
I Total Drag, the record shop in downtown Sioux Falls, has been absolutely huge for that because of the sheer number of concerts that they put on, and the kind of bands and talent that they're able to get in there. And that's been huge for the younger music scene in Sioux Falls, which is fantastic, because if you can show kids that, hey, you can get a band together and play a show and do that type of stuff. Sioux Falls, in my time here, has always kind of had a hard time with the in-between size music venues. So we were happy to hear about the Icon Lounge getting figured out so they could keep shows going on there, because that's been a good venue. That's where this Sparse release show for Jamie and Andrew is happening. Various places where you can find music happening downtown. I think as downtown has grown and more establishments are wanting to feature live music, that's just been a really good thing. You can never have too much of it. So
what's your journey like right now? Tell me a little bit about the new EP.
Recorded an EP last year called Used to Live Here. It was really nice. I actually got some funding from the South Dakota Arts Council, so that kind of advocacy is just huge, and that was very helpful. I'm always trying to write. I just love the creative process. To me, it's more about kind of that process of creating and that journey. I get more joy out of that even than a finished product. It's really nice to have something in your hands to be able to go back and listen to, but just that process of creating. And so I'm always kind of working on something. That EP took a little while to come together, even though it's only, you know, six songs long. It was kind of two different recording sessions, one in the fall and one in the spring, that comprised that, which was really fun. We recorded it. My friend and fellow musician, Dalton Coffey, we recorded that at his home studio. So a really fun environment. Again, just really good for collaboration. Andrew Reinhardt's played on that. My friend Joel Fredrickson, Joe Shotwell, as you mentioned. So I'm always just trying to write, trying to come up with ideas. And at this stage, not putting pressure on what's going to come of it, but just doing it for the creative rewards and being able to experiment and definitely push myself, but not put pressure on that finished product to be something that's going to, you know, be life-changing or something like that.
Right. So. Well, I want to talk more about that, but first I think I would love to hear you play something. What would you like to start out with?
Yeah, let's do it. Actually, I'll play a song off of that Used to Live Here EP, and that's the name of this song, Used to Live Here. Across the country, planes at midnight, a case of lost identity. Now this don't look right. Used to live here many years ago, the light's the same, but I've changed though, and I'm, baby, when that right time is coming, you just know. Down the highway running like you've never been behind. You find a way to find yourself and gather it all. All the pieces flying in the wind that's blowing now. And holding photographs, black and white, things get stranger. It's a surreal life now. Yeah, baby, when that right time is coming, you just know. You're down the highway running like you've never been behind. You find a way to find yourself and gather it all. All the pieces flying in the wind that's blowing now. Yeah. Oh. And time plays tricks. You get lost in the haze. And does it all work out? And what's it all about? Would it change your mind either way? Either way.
You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio, a moment in sound this week with Sioux Falls musician Darren Kaihai. It's so beautiful.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit more about where that song came from.
I turned 30 around the time that I was writing that song, and was just kind of, I think, reflecting on my 20s. And, you know, you go into your 20s with a head full of steam and momentum, and, you know, you have visions of where you're going to be or what you're going to end up doing. And it's a busy decade. And I think it was just kind of looking back on that in a way. The concept, used to live here, both physically. You know, you move around a lot. You kind of find a home for some people. For me, I've kind of found a home here. You start looking back on where you grew up and the places that influence you. And then also emotionally, spiritually, you know, you're looking back. There's portions of yourself that existed in a certain time that you feel like you're completely disconnected with now. You know, yeah, that you're a different person or that type of thing. So those might sound like kind of heady concepts, but really that's kind of where it came from. Sort of a bit of nostalgia, I guess, but also kind of just reflecting on that and being okay with, you know, everything that's happened in life. And
this is one of the things that I think is underrated about being an artist and starting, you know, in your teens, in your 20s, and then continuing throughout your lifetime, is that you get to look back at what you were writing and how you were performing, you know, in your 20s, and then move into the, I mean, it's you're telling your own life story in some ways, or you're, you know, capturing your own emotional journey. Do you get a sense of that, or is that something that only in your 40s, like me, would you start to notice?
I think one of the biggest creative rewards of making things is that you take time for introspection, for looking back. So in my mind, one of the biggest benefits through songwriting is being able to figure out myself, you know. So yeah, I think that it kind of constantly happens whenever you're making yourself vulnerable enough to the point where you're going to kind of dig in and bring out some stuff. So,
and then do you release, you know, a song or, you know, an entire, you know, album into the world and then think now it's somebody else's turn? I mean, people are going to interpret things based on their own lives and based on their own, they might miss, it's no longer yours.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How do you handle that release?
I've tried to just not be precious with that at all.
Right.
It's hard. There's certain things that I maybe write, but I wouldn't record, you know, for that reason. I don't want to share maybe that much of myself or something. But for me, it like all of my musical influences, they've done that. So, right. I should do that too. I think anyone, that's kind of the final stage of making something is being willing to share it. So that other people can glean from that. And if people are able to do that from this, that's fantastic. That's the best, because that's sharing creative work is just one of the coolest things.
Who does inspire you? Who are those influences? And are they just musicians? Or are you also inspired by art or literature or other things?
Yeah, I think influences come from all over the place for me. When I was starting out writing and doing that type of thing, it was coming from reading poetry and kind of coupling that with, it's a very obvious inspiration for a lot of people, but Bob Dylan, and, you know, just constantly listening to especially those earlier records just over and over and over again.
I was going to say that. And, but you never know if people see themselves like you see them. But after kind of researching your work, I was like, there's a Bob Dylan influence there, which you don't, even though it seems like every artist would be influenced by Dylan.
Right.
You don't see that influence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say him, Leonard Cohen, right. Lou Reed, kind of that style of, I don't have too many songs that have more than 4 or 5 chords in them. Kind of ascribe it to that thing of you can write a good song with 3 chords. Music being technically proficient has never been my thing. I like to get people around me who are, and they can tell me what I'm doing. kind of finding that simplicity, relying on melodic stuff, and then trying to tell a story is kind of the focus there. And yeah, digging into other influences, my wife is a painter. That's gotten me more into like visual stuff and inspirations with that, and finding a lot of just how you can themes and that type of thing just cross all the different arts. So,
well, let's talk more about that in a second. But another song, please.
Yeah, I'll play a song here off of since we were talking about home and that type of thing. This is a song called "Coming Home" off of Pilgrim Hotel album from a couple years ago.
The roads are different, though they change over the years. My eyes see different through the shedding of my fears. And if I am lonesome, it's because I am alone. Well, not for long, because I'm coming home. Spring in my heart again. Winter's over again. There's only one place to go. I'm coming home.
Listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio, this week's Moment in Sound, live from the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls, featuring Darren Kaihai. That was from the album Pilgrim Hotel. The new EP is called Used to Live Here. Let's talk a little bit about living and working with your wife, the painter, two artists. Kind of, it sounds so romantic, making
it does,
right? But I'm sure there's days where it is, and there's days when it isn't.
Yes.
What is that like, though, to sort of, you know, have these two different art forms? Where do they intersect?
Yeah, it's, I couldn't ask for a whole lot more out of that kind of partnership. There's so many, like we said, like themes, and you know, you're going through that same creative process, but it's kind of nice actually to be in different areas, because we give each other feedback and stuff like that, but it's different when you're not necessarily looking at the details the same way or getting hung up on that type of thing. You're able to just kind of have kind of bigger conversations about you know, what direction you're taking.
Yeah. What kind of feedback would she give you that you think could only come from her?
She hears me play all the time, you know? So if I'm working on a song and she pops her head in the room and says, "I like that," then I know that's a good song. She's also a great critic for me. So if, you know, oftentimes I'll be working on something that just doesn't, I don't know, something's not clicking, you know, she'll let me know. Something, and she has a really good ear too, so she can help me out with some of that stuff sometimes too. So she'll get in there with just kind of overall support, but again, not into details of like really changing songs or that type of thing. But she's helped me out with lyrics before too, you know, just kind of stuff where when you spend a lot of time with somebody, you kind of inherently understand what they're trying to do, maybe what the point is that they're trying to get across or what they've been struggling with or type of thing. So kind of instinctually you can come in with some good advice. Or
is that vulnerability though even heightened? Because if you're, you know, you're playing with the theme or, you know, a verse, you know, you've got some lyrics going, I'm not going to know what's happening in your personal life. Mm-hmm. But she is.
Yeah.
So you have to be even more open with her in that process. She gets to see everything.
Yeah. I would say that's where we're fortunate to have a good relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, you're either in or out. It's either going to end it or not. You know. So then it's a lifetime.
Yeah. But no, definitely. I mean, you're opening yourself up to, like, whenever you're getting criticism on something that you care a lot about, mm-hmm. or that you're, you know, you're kind of forced to just say, yeah, you know what? That idea is not working. You're right. Like, you can hear that right now. I can't quite hear it yet.
Yeah.
Totally right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is she at the same point? And I wanted to go back to something you said earlier about enjoying the process. And, you know, not a lot of artists never get there. It's still the cliche of opening a vein and, you know, it's hard, gritty work. Was there a moment where it just sort of transitioned and you were like, this is, I love doing this, even if it's not successful, even if I'm on a dead end for this song and I have to throw it all away and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a time that you said, like, no, or did you intentionally try to, did it come naturally? Talk about that a little bit.
Well, it's tough. I mean, life gets busy, you know, you get a job, you get different obligations that you have to, put your time towards. And at a certain point, there's been different points for me, that I can point to where I ask myself, why am I doing this? Should I keep doing this or not? And my brain would turn towards, you know what? I think I'm going to just kind of put this on hold or stop doing that. And then I'd be miserable,
right?
You know, until I came back, because that's when I realized it's not about these out there goals of being able to do this full time as a job or that type of thing. It's about the process and all the benefits that come out of. And then, I mean, that again too is good, where you can have a community around you where there's other people, you know, doing the same thing. And I think for Anna too, that's where, you know, she's come to realize that too. And often, talks about that with people who are doing workshops or classes with her too.
Yeah.
It's not, you have to be doing it for the right reasons if you want to get joy out of it, which ultimately I think is why we create things, because it fulfills that part of us. So not putting, if it's possible to not put yourself in a position where you have unrealistic expectations or even just expectations that are incredibly lofty. And for me, I still hold on to those. I mean, I still, you know, I'm here sharing today, you know, you got to seize opportunities and be active in doing that, but also understanding that, you know what, if this is, you know, if I just write songs in my living room for the rest, I'm going to keep doing that because I like doing it.
Do you think that makes you better though? Because it seems to me that that's the moment where you actually become, you step up to the next tier of, you know, of what other people might call quality or might call, you know, mastering a craft or however you would define it.
Yeah.
But it's that you can tell that, and when an artist enjoys the process, you can tell.
I would think so. You know, I would think so. Yeah. And there's that, you know, you have to lose your life to find it type of thing. You know, sometimes when you let go of certain things that might be holding you back because they're holding back some aspect of that freedom from you.
So one of my favorite books is called Daily Ritual, and it has, I don't know if you've ever seen it or not, but it's just a list of famous artists over time and like how they, you know, sort of their daily rituals with their art. Do you have, you know, a structure to your creativity?
Yeah, we read that book this summer.
Right?
It was incredibly interesting. Yeah. I've gone through periods of time where I definitely have. Currently, I don't really. I just try to find time during the day when I can pick up the guitar, right? Typically right now that happens kind of later in the evenings, which I think is a good time. Normally early morning or late evening I find is best for me because my head's a little more clear. So, but I definitely think you have to constantly be, I'm also not writing a lot right now for that reason, that I don't have that time carved out. So I think just like anything else, you have to show up and put in the time and just do it. And I mean, for me, the songs that I've actually followed through with, whether recording or performing live or anything like that, I mean, it's such a small percentage of the songs that I've started or have written. And so you realize that process after you've done it a few times and become a little less precious with songs. And so then when you're taking time to, when you have that daily ritual carved out, you're at least giving yourself a chance. You know, if you don't do that, I feel like you don't really have a chance. You know, you have to be disciplined about doing it and making it a priority.
Ted Kooser said you have to sit in the chair and wait for the geese to fly in or something. I'm misquoting Ted Kooser now, but it is that moment that you do have to show up for it again and again and again. And when you enjoy the showing up,
better. It's a struggle, you know. Uh-huh. The next song I'll play here is kind of about that struggle, but it's worth it in the end, you know. Yeah. Like anything in life, when you go through some type of struggle that you come out on the other end, you've gained something from that. You know, it might not have been enjoyable, but it will hopefully enrich your life in some way or another. So,
what will you play next?
Yeah, I'll like I said, this is kind of a song about that. Writing process, and I think this was written sometime in the middle of the night up at the studio while my wife was still working up there too. So this is Wake Me Honey off of the Pilgrim Hotel album as well.
Aching nights are wrapped up in worn strings and words, coarsely scrawled, the moment of it all. And ashes on the street are swept up in the morning light. But who remembers the heroics of the night? Wake me, honey, I was having a bad dream. But I feel so much better knowing you're here next to me. It's hard to rest in the modern state of mind. The peace I need is the last peace to find. Lights of the city reciprocate the burning of the stars. It's beauty best beholding from afar. And sadness and gladness, they share a slender wall. And I use up melancholy like alcohol. Wake me, honey, I was falling asleep. That dream was going too deep. Not long until we hit the mid-coast. And from there we'll keep finding.
Darren Kaihai on this week's Moment in Sound. You can see him April 27th at the Icon Lounge. The albums Used to Be Here, I'm sorry, Used to Live Here, and Pilgrim Hotel. You can find him on Bandcamp, and we'll put a link up on the website after the show, listen.sdpb.org. Darren, it's a pleasure. Come back again.
Yes, I'd love to. Thanks for having me.